The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from Hilton, Houston, just across the street from the Houston station in downtown London. This is the first time that we've taken the radio show on the road live, so who knows what this might be starting. Hopefully it's something that we can do more often down the road. And from what I can tell, we have a room in a quieter part of the hotel, so hopefully there won't be too many distractions, if any. And we're also working just off of the wireless here at the hotel, so hopefully there won't be any interruptions to the stream. If there are, of course, you know where to go to listen to this program later. You can get the podcast of this program or any of our programs at the trumpet.com website and also at kpcg.fm. Well, we're in London, of course, because of another first. This is our first personal appearance campaign in the 29-year history of the Philadelphia Church of God. Of course, we've had other PACs. My father has quite a few of them going on right now in North America. He's been all over the United States and was up in Toronto. So it's something that the church has certainly been doing for quite some time. And even here in the UK, long before we came along, Herbert Armstrong was giving one PAC appearance after another, starting as early as 1954 and continuing on through the 1950s and the 1960s. So for this part of the world, it's just awesome to resume the public Bible lectures. Last night, we had 137 people attend the first lecture of this two-day event. 46 of them were members. Quite a few came down from Edstone to staff the event. And to work the tea and coffee after the lecture was completed. And so added to that 46, we had 91 non-members, which amounts to about 57% of those who registered for the event. And I know there were a few problems with some. A couple of people arrived about halfway through. Some told us that some of the train lines were down in the city. So I don't know if that prevented a few others from getting here. But in any event, a very successful evening for sure. And just going by yesterday's follow-through rates, we're projecting to have about 110 here for the second lecture tonight. As I told some of you last week, the room was set up for about 130 people. So with 137 showing up last night, we had a nice full room for the first evening, and if 110 turn out this evening, there may be a few extra seats in the back, but still, we'll have a pretty full room, so we're really excited about finishing off the event later on tonight, and we'll have more to say about this evening's lecture and the time that we have with the trumpet readers on tomorrow's program when we broadcast live again from Edstone. Well, we have so much to get to, so many special things to get to on today's broadcast. You're going to want to stay with us through the entire hour. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking about that first campaign back in 1954, just some fascinating details that are covered in the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong, but also in an advertisement from one of the Belfast newspapers from 1954, and then a follow-up article about the public appearance campaign. So Mr. Armstrong attracted some news attention, and we'll tell you about just how many people turned out for that first UK PAC in Belfast and just some of the other details surrounding it. So that's coming up in the second segment. Really, I guess with all the special features today, we have quite a few segments. Later on, we're also going to be playing a conversation I had with Brad McDonald just outside the hotel earlier this morning, just talking about some of the details that went into planning this event. And he and I both discuss just some of the conversations and the interaction that we had last night with all of those special guests. Sam's also collected some feedback from those who attended the event last night. And you'll really be excited, I think, to hear what some of the people were saying after they heard the lecture. So quite a lot to get to on today's program. To begin with, I think what I'll do is play the audio. Before I got up to speak last night, we had about a 4 or 5 minute video that went back to the days of Herbert Armstrong and some of the things that he had written in the Plain Truth magazine in 1973, and just trying to bring all of the people who are attending to bring them right up to speed with what we are, who we are, who we're an extension of, the tradition that we're continuing on with. And so this, I think, even without some of the video footage, just hearing the audio will give you a pretty good idea of how the campaign started off last night here in London.
When the United Kingdom joined the European Community in 1973, many celebrated. Herbert W. Armstrong did not. In the March 1973 Plain Truth, he delivered a sobering warning. Britain is going to look back on Monday, the 1st of January 1973, in all probability, as a most tragically historic date, a date fraught with ominous potentialities. For that date marked the United Kingdom's entry into the European Community. Today, Mr. Armstrong's ominous potentialities are menacing realities. Britain's membership in the European Union and its 2016 vote to leave has been harmful and divisive. Today, Brexit is causing political chaos and division, financial and economic uncertainty, and growing social discord. As the Brexit crisis deepens, Mr. Armstrong's 45-year-old prophecy grows more remarkable. January 1st, 1973 was a most tragically historic date. Herbert Armstrong's March 1973 Plain Truth article contained another sobering warning. Britain would leave the European Union, he prophesied, and a political union of 10 nations in Europe would rise, resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. Mr. Armstrong first warned about Germany's end-time dominance and the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, even before World War II. For more than 50 years, he warned that a German-led, Catholic-inspired European superpower would inflict terrible destruction on mankind and precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. This forecast was Herbert Armstrong's keynote prophecy, and it is being clearly and powerfully fulfilled today.
In a union of a United States of Europe, in a united empire.
These dramatic and accurate forecasts raise some important questions. How did Mr. Armstrong know, even as Britain entered the European Union in 1973, that the relationship would end with a bitter divorce? How did he know that Germany would reunite and lead a federal European superpower? Mr. Armstrong delivered many other prophecies about the collapse of the United States, the fall of the Iron Curtain, and the now obvious potent alliance between Russia and China. Where did Mr. Armstrong get these prophecies from? On what authority were they based? Between 1927 and 1986, Herbert Armstrong led the Worldwide Church of God, a tremendously successful global church that dispensed the gospel of God and shared biblical prophecy with mankind. When Mr. Armstrong died in January 1986, this impressive and important work ended, or so it seemed. What happened to the Worldwide Church of God and to Mr. Armstrong's mission? What happened to the global effort to spread the gospel and explain biblical prophecy? We live in a nation and a world besieged by crisis and uncertainty. Today, the need for understanding biblical prophecy, for the gospel message, for hope, for the message Herbert Armstrong delivered, is greater than ever. Where is the work of Herbert W. Armstrong today? You need to know, and you can know.
That's the audio from our introductory video last night, where we drew attention to the statement in 1973 where Herbert Armstrong talked about Britain would regret the day that it hitched its fate to the European Union and said that it was going to be a messy divorce. Of course, he said elsewhere that Britain would be no part of it, that oncoming final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And then as part of that same article from March 1973, as the video brought out, there was another sobering warning, not just that Britain would leave the EU, but that this political union of 10 nations would rise, resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. And I told the audience there last night, or I referred them to our most recent Trumpet magazine, the one where my father wrote about Sebastian Kurz in his personal. I think that's the September or October issue, I forget which. But here's this 32-year-old charismatic new leader in Austria, the youngest ever chancellor of Austria. And he really has captured the imagination of his countrymen. And as my father brings out in that personal, he's also a deeply religious man and proudly maintains that his religion guides his politics. He wants to see Europe get back to its spiritual roots. And he's not alone. There's an increasing number of politicians and commentators in Europe who are turning to European history, even as the United States and Britain are erasing their own. Here are these European leaders, many of them anyway, turning to their own history for solutions to our modern-day problems. And some are pointing to Charlemagne and saying, that's the spirit we want to revive again. Well, you can read about that spirit in our booklet, The Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy. Charlemagne, as many of you know, waded through rivers of blood as he imposed his religion on Central Europe. Is that really the solution to Europe's problems or troubles? Is that the solution to the world troubles we see today? I mean, many call Charlemagne the forefather of modern Europe. That's not a legacy, though, that we want to resurrect. I went through some of that material from the article, my father's article in the latest Trumpet magazine, and then just got to the very basics of Bible prophecy. Daniel 2, some of the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong went through for decades, the framework of prophecy or the overview that Daniel gives to us in Daniel 2, the Daniel 2 image, four great world ruling kingdoms, the Chaldean Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and then, of course, the Roman Empire. We went through some of Daniel. We went through some from Daniel 7, the four beasts of Daniel 7, again representing the same four world-ruling empires or kingdoms. And as I explained last night, now the Roman Empire, it lasted. The ancient Roman Empire went from 31 AD to 476 AD, or 31 BC, rather, to 476 AD. And then what about after that? I mean, if you look at Daniel 2 and if you look at Daniel 7, you see that both of them also discuss the fifth kingdom that is God's to be set up and established on this earth by Jesus Christ. And so how do you get from 476 AD to the return of Christ, which hasn't happened yet? How do you explain this 1,500-year gap? Well, if you look at Daniel 7 and verse 24, it says about the fourth beast, the one with 10 horns. It says the 10 horns come out of this kingdom. There are 10 kings that shall arise out of that Roman Empire system. And verse 8 of the same chapter talks about the little horn plucking up the first three by the roots. And so you've got the last seven that would be the Holy Roman Empire. Seven resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. That little horn, of course, being the Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church. As I told the audience last night, Daniel 7 and verse 8, that is the single most revealing verse in Daniel. It's the verse, it's really the key to understanding European history these past 1,500 years. I mean, if there's one thing that European history teaches us, it's that the Holy Roman Empire keeps coming back. It keeps resurrecting itself. It's happened six times. And now we're waiting for the seventh. We're not waiting. We're actually seeing it happen. I mean, there's still some dramatic changes to be made in that European conglomerate. But we are seeing it. My father's described it before as an empire that's just waiting for an emperor. So I took them through those two chapters, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and then we moved over to Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, and I pointed out how that with each chapter, God just adds more detail. I mean, he really does give us a vivid picture of what's coming. And we not only have prophecy to go by, we've got all that history, and that's covered in the Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy booklet. The history and the prophecy. I forget which verse it is in Revelation 17. It's the one where God says to John that, look, don't be troubled. I can explain this. The meaning here is, you can understand the meaning, and the point that my father's made with some of his writings is that people can understand these beasts and these horns and this woman straddling the beast and the lamb in or what looks like a lamb in Revelation 13, and yet speaks like a dragon, if you're just willing to put in a little study, to do a little bit of digging. But most people aren't willing to do that. Most people, well, they don't just dismiss the third of the Bible that is prophecy. They dismiss the entirety of God's inspired word. We came toward the end of the event last night. I was hoping also to just go through some of the verses in Daniel 8 about the Daniel 8 man. That's to head up this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. That's to lead those 10 kings spoken of in Revelation 17 and verse 12. But we were pushing up against an hour and a half. We wanted to try to keep the event to 90 minutes if possible. So it was a little disappointing for, I think, four or five people that got there a little bit late. Some even got there as late as 60 or 70 minutes into the presentation. So when they heard me go on for just 10 or 15 minutes, they were a little disappointed that it was already over. So hopefully they'll come back tonight. Some that had registered for last night, but that didn't register for tonight, we just encouraged them to go out and register for the second night in the lobby. It is, of course, I mean, this is London, and getting here is not cheap. Staying here overnight is certainly not cheap. So as you'll hear in this segment that I'll play for you in a moment, my conversation with Brad McDonald earlier this morning, a lot of people really did sacrifice just to make it here and spend a fair bit of money just to be with us for our first public appearance campaign in London during the 29-year history of the Philadelphia Church of God. Earlier today, I went outside and spoke with Brad McDonald, who organized this event. And here's what we had to say. We're here just outside of Euston Station, downtown London. We have the PAC, the Personal Appearance Campaign, in the Hilton here, right outside the Euston Station. And I'm with Mr. Brad McDonald. He's our regional director for Great Britain and all of Europe. And he was very helpful in setting up this engagement. And maybe before I get into some of the history of the PAX here in the UK, you could tell the audience just a little bit about the prep and all the assistance that you got from some of the locals gearing up for this event.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to be here. It's just a huge moment for the Philadelphia Trumpet here in England. A lot of people were involved in setting up this pack. I think the decision was made 2 or 3 months ago to have to host our first pack here in the United Kingdom. Edwin Trables, who works in our regional office up there at Edstone, really kind of led the charge underneath me, and then I was working underneath you, of course. But then all of the office staff were involved. We settled on hosting the pack in a hotel here in Euston just because it's so central to the country. We hosted the pack at Hilton Euston London Hotel, I think it was, which is probably a 3-minute walk from Euston Station. So that was very convenient for people traveling in. We did have quite a few people travel in for the pack. We had people come in from the Isle of Man, people come in from Glasgow, people come in from Northern Ireland. So a lot of people used the train to get into downtown London. So our location was great. We really took a lot of direction from headquarters. Headquarters is now pretty experienced at hosting public appearance campaigns. So David V. Hill and Mr. Loca back at headquarters really just sent us all of the documentation. And we followed that format as we planned the pack. So I think last night we had about 137 people.
That's right. Yeah.
We were pretty pleased with the turnout. And just, in my opinion, they were just very, very high quality people as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was just from my standpoint, speaking up in front of them, I was just really pleased with how attentive the group was. And there were even, as we were discussing at breakfast this morning, there were even a few people that, I think these were the ones that actually got there late, but they were disappointed that it ended as soon as it did. So the whole event last night went for about an hour and a half. And as you said, it was even beyond that. We had some tea and coffee and snacks afterwards, and I think we ended up leaving almost 2 hours after the event ended. So counting the mingling and the message and all the prep leading up to it, I mean, it went for several hours last night.
Yeah, the post-lecture part of the evening really exceeded my expectations. I was surprised by how much people mingled. I think God just inspired you on the Saturday to think about the tea, having tea and coffee, which was kind of a real smart move for the English. So we arranged the tea and coffee just Sunday, but it really paid off because a lot of people went out there, had a tea and coffee and a biscuit, and just fellowshipped for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. Not just with the ministry and with the students, but people were really fellowshipping with one another. And there were quite a few people who, you know, maybe they'd been in the Worldwide Church of God, or they'd crossed paths over the past 20 or 30 years, and they saw each other at the pack, and they were able to reconnect, which was pretty neat to see that as well. People who hadn't seen each other for maybe 20 or 30 years, or since the Worldwide Church of God days, and they were able to connect. So everyone just seemed, it felt a little bit like almost a Sabbath service, where just warm, friendly, everyone's fellowshipping and just having a great time. So it was really a terrific atmosphere from start to end.
Yeah, we had 137, as you mentioned, and of that, 46 of them were from the church. So all totaled, the non-members, there were 91 non-members. So about the third of the entire audience came down from Edstone, or came from the London area, church area that we have here. And so all of them, they did a great job. Our own people did a great job of really spreading themselves around and talking to a lot of these people, which, as you said a moment ago, they came from all over. The lady from Belfast, a lady and her children from Glasgow, and you mentioned the couple from the Isle of Man. Someone came up from the Netherlands.
Right.
And then, of course, from all over England. It was, I think the tea and coffee really was a special opportunity for us to just talk to them, and Sam got some really good feedback from them that we'll play a little bit later on in the program as well, which was really exciting to see just how it impacted those people that have been reading the trumpet in some cases for several years.
Right. Yeah. Edwin sent an email through this morning. We had at least 20 people sign up for the follow-up Bible study next Sunday, which, 20 people out of 90, what's that? That's more than 20%, if my math is correct, which I think is, I haven't checked with headquarters. I'm not sure what the kind of the standard is. But I was pretty excited about that. We have 20 people so far who are planning on coming back to the same hotel next Sunday for the follow-up Bible study. We've already received a little bit of feedback at the office. We had someone who attended last night call into the office, and they told Richard Howard, he sent an email. He said, this man said it was one of the best evenings I've ever spent. He said Stephen Flurry was very, very good. So not just very good, very, very good. And the staff were good too. I was so impressed. So that's just great to have that feedback.
Yeah, and tell us about the individual you ran into after the event. He didn't even hear the lecture, but...
Yeah, so the lecture was over. I was in the lobby. It was probably 45, 50 minutes after you'd finished speaking. And this man came downstairs, and he's looking around, and he inquired about what's going on here. Was there a lecture? He wanted to know what you talked about. I said, well, yeah, I'm sorry, but you missed the lecture. Did you get the times confused? As it turns out, he's visiting London from Arizona. He's a trumpet subscriber. He's here for a conference, and he's staying in this hotel. So he had come back from whatever he was doing yesterday, and he'd seen the big banner advertising the pack with your picture on it and the trumpet. So he just came downstairs and wanting to attend. So he missed last night's lecture, but we signed him up for tonight's lecture. So he and his wife are in town for just a conference. He's from Arizona, and he's really excited to be able to come to the lecture tonight.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I mean, what are the chances? Right. A trumpet reader from Arizona who has no idea that the PAX, we didn't advertise where it was, so he had no idea it was here. He comes in, and as Mr. McDonald was saying, the big banner is out in the lobby of the hotel with my picture and the personal appearance campaign, some of the information. So yeah, he was excited to know that it's a two-day event, and hopefully, he said, if his lecture doesn't go long this afternoon, he'll be able to come to our evening meeting tonight. This is the last night of a two-day event. It starts at 7:30, a little bit later start time, before some of us make our way back or hop on the train to get back to Edstone. I would just mention too, speaking of the banner in the lobby, we came down on the train yesterday afternoon, arrived and checked in, and there was already a man from Birmingham who had checked into this hotel. He actually got two nights.
Oh, well,
and he doesn't look well off or anything, but he wanted to stay two nights in downtown London so that he could attend both of the messages before he then heads home tomorrow. So we talked to him while we were checking in, and then, of course, you talked to him, I think, later on during the tea and coffee, and I was able to catch up with him after the event as well. So a successful start to the PAX in the UK, to resuming the PAX. We, as we've noted before, we haven't had a personal appearance campaign here in the UK, ever, for the PCG history. And last night, which I'll talk about later on in the program, Mr. Armstrong before us had them here quite often, starting in 1954, and then that continued even through the 1960s. So it's great to just resume that arm of the work, because it really is an effective way to get the message out there, and also just to get to know the trumpet readers.
Right. Yeah, your dad over the past few years within the trumpet department, he's really encouraged us to be thinking about how can we develop trumpet readers, how can we, you know, really engage with them more and help them, you know, have more understanding or answer more of their questions. And just sitting there last night, seeing how absorbed, I sat at the back, I wanted to just watch everyone, and seeing how absorbed everyone was in the message, seeing how quick people were to talk to the ministry and really just ask lots of questions, I just thought, boy, I'm not sure if there's a better way, you know, for the trumpet and for you and your dad to really engage our trumpet audience and get to know them and answer their questions and bring them along, so to speak. So it was really exciting. I was also just, we talked about this yesterday as well. In London on Saturday, there was a protest, 700,000 people, or that's what the papers are saying. 700,000 people were in London protesting on Saturday. They were protesting Brexit. I think it was a pro-Remain protest. And then, of course, you spoke about Brexit last night and reminded people about Mr. Armstrong's prophecies that Britain wouldn't be part of the European Union. So it was pretty awesome to see world events and to see you know, events so specific to Britain and E-Frame and even London converge at the same time we had this pack. So I just thought it was really interesting. And today, you know, the front page of the papers all have, most of them have a picture of Theresa May, and they're all asking, is she about to resign or be fired? Because she's really messed up the whole Brexit negotiation. So all of these events in England and Europe are all happening at the same time that we have this pack, and you're talking about these prophecies. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and when you put it alongside that 1973 right. comment that Mr. Armstrong made, you're making a mistake. It's not going to work out joining the European Union. And then you have all of that going on, as you say, this weekend, yeah. you know, all of this division. This country is deeply divided over that, just like the United States is divided over political issues. And so it was easy in that sense right. to tie it right in with what they're reading in their own newspapers.
Yeah, they all came with Brexit on the mind. And then that's exactly what you spoke about. So that's just the way it worked out. It's pretty awesome just to see Christ working like that.
So tonight we're expecting a smaller group.
Yep.
And there were a few last night that I spoke to that my wife did as well, who indicated that they were only going to come the first night. But then a couple anyway that sounded like they might try to get here for tonight's lecture. So did you hear any good feedback on this second lecture or the follow-up Bible study? You mentioned that 20 had signed up for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I had quite a few people ask me what you were planning on talking about tonight. Some people were they wanted more prophecy, but then some people also wanted, I think, more Christian living or more, you know, why the church and even, you know, some direction, I think, on you know, their relationship with God and how they can improve that. So it is a real commitment to travel into London to a pack two nights in a row. Traveling in England is not like traveling in Australia or America. It's quite stressful. It can be quite expensive. So, you know, the people who came last night and who are coming tonight, you know, they're making a financial commitment. They're making you know, a commitment to enduring some stress and anxiety just traveling on trains. There were people, you know, the lady from Glasgow with her two young daughters, she left at 8 or 9 yesterday morning, and she was going to get back at 12 or 1 right. last night. And then, as I mentioned, there's a cost associated with it, 50, 60, 70 pounds. And then if people are staying, you know, hotels in London tend to be, you know, more expensive than the rest of the country and even the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So I think the people that are coming, they really are showing some terrific loyalty and a desire to understand this message.
Yeah, well, we had two come from, I mentioned the fellow that stayed overnight twice in this hotel here in London, and then two came up from south of England or way down south near the coast and got a taxi the whole way,
yeah.
an hour and a half drive. I think it was like 300 pounds. So they're not coming back tonight for that reason.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have had lots of different people, a variety of people, some, as I say, that were familiar with Worldwide Days, others that have just been reading the trumpet, some that have just kind of come along. And one thing that we definitely tried to do last night was to, besides giving them a strong prophetic message, we also just tried to tell them as much about the work as possible,
yeah.
to tell them about the website, the magazine, to tell them about the radio show. You know, some mentioned that they wanted to see these kinds of events more often. And then I mentioned that, well, you need to go on to our radio station because you can actually hear from us every single day and almost have like a little mini pack in your living room. So we're trying to do our best to get the message out there and to let them know just how far-reaching God's work really and truly is. Well, Brad McDonald, we thank you for joining us here today. A beautiful day, another beautiful day in London. We're just outside the Euston Station, just a little ways down from the Hilton Hotel where we're hosting the event. We'll certainly have a lot more to report on tomorrow regarding the second night of this two-day event. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. In the summer of 1926, Herbert W. Armstrong asked himself, "Who am I? What am I? Why am I?" He tried to reason out the answer, but he couldn't. It was a mystery. Not long after that, he was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on the theory of evolution and the question of Sunday observance. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed with proof that was positive and absolute. These answers, and many more, are thoroughly explained in Mystery of the Ages, which is available to you at no cost or obligation. Time has proven Mystery of the Ages to be the most important book written in nearly 1,900 years. This world's humanity has been blinded to who, what, and why man is, how man appeared on Earth. Man has been mystified by his inability to solve his problems or find answers to the perplexing questions of mankind and the world he inhabits. All these mysteries were long ago revealed by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message, not allowed to be revealed and decoded until our time. In Mystery of the Ages, these great mysteries of life are thoroughly explained in vivid detail. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
And I always listen on Radio 66, Mr. Stephen Flurry. And from thence, I think I am a changed person. And hoping in future to invite my friends to do the same.
This evening was an eye-opening event. It taught us so much that we didn't know before, and things we've been taking for granted. So it's a very good evening. I wish more of these can be organized.
It was a really good talk, and a talk about prophecy, and where people are getting to open their eyes to what is happening. This is a very good speech, very good talking, and I think everything is going to be expanded and going well, and yeah, it's very good.
Okay, I was really excited to come here. I wish there would be more, and I've followed it since the Plain Truth, and I always will, so really excited.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
I thought it was very very knowledgeable, inspiring. I also like the four keys that he gave and the warning signs to look out for. So certainly when I get home, all the key scriptures, you know, Revelation 17, Revelation 13, to go home and study.
I'm glad to be here. We enjoy our evening, and it was very knowledgeable, and we learn a lot from it.
I really enjoyed this evening. I just love the way the worldwide crisis is emerged with the Bible and the teaching, and I think a lot of the churches out there are not giving the correct teaching and leading the flock astray.
I have to say the Philadelphian Church of God members are exemplary. I have to say they absolutely represent what I would imagine God's people to be.
That's a little bit of the feedback from last night's event here in downtown London, the first public appearance campaign in the UK in the PCG history. And you can see how excited people were following the lecture. And as I said in the first segment, just to have their undivided attention for an hour and a half. Really impressive, and a lot of head nodding in the right direction. And as I say, a pretty strong message too, as we went through Daniel 2 and 7, and as we went through Revelation 13 and 17, and also through a few passages in the book of Hosea earlier on in the lecture, I went through some of the history of we're speaking to you live, by the way, from London. I think I mentioned that at the start. This is quite a momentous occasion for us. The first traveling road show. I mean, maybe we can come to your location one of these days and do a live broadcast in the presence of an audience. That's what we need next, is a studio audience, Sam. You can work that out. We actually have a small audience today. My son is sitting right behind me studying for one of his IA classes. But we can expand that. We have the technology, and sometimes we have the space for that as well. Well, as for some of that history, that exciting history, last night I talked about Mr. Armstrong's tremendous work here in the UK, going on Radio Luxembourg in 1953, and then that following year, and really the coverage in the UK for Radio Luxembourg, it was pretty patchy, and yet still there was a growing Plain Truth audience or Plain Truth readership here in the UK. That was in 1953 when he began with Radio Luxembourg, and then in 1954 he planned his first public speaking campaign in Britain. And the first site was Belfast, up in Northern Ireland. We had a lady come down from Belfast last night, as I said in the first segment. But this was Mr. Armstrong's first opportunity to speak in front of an audience, a live audience, outside of America. That was September 14th, 1954. The following year, he opened up a regional office here in London, just off Leicester Square, about a mile and a half from us, right here at the Hilton Houston. And then in 1956, he established his first Worldwide Church of God congregation in the UK with just 17 members. It started small as a mustard seed, and then it grew from there. I think a lot of people are familiar with the history from 1959 and 1960, when God's Work bought that plot of land in Bricketwood, there in North London, St. Albans area. And then in 1960, they opened the doors to the Bricketwood campus, starting with 33 students. And then throughout the 60s, the offshore radio broadcasting in 1961, Radio London in 1965, and then all through that decade, they had a pretty extensive print advertising campaign going on with Reader's Digest and the like. And then 1971 was the start of a very successful newsstand program here in London and beyond. And by 1973, there were 400,000 people in the United Kingdom reading the Plain Truth magazine. I think half of them were subscribers and the other half were picking up the magazine, you know, on the tube or wherever. Well, then in 1974, it started to take a turn for the worse. Bricketwood was closed and sold off. And during the decade of the 1970s, of course, the church was struggling with this liberal element. A lot of top ministers, including some from the UK, left the church. The income overall plummeted. Plain Truth subscribers, they were dropping off en masse. And then there was a mini revival in the 1980s when God brought Mr. Armstrong back to life there in the late 70s, and they resumed some of the print advertising campaigns. They got the Plain Truth readership back into the hundreds of thousands. But then in 1986, Herbert W. Armstrong died, and then it wasn't that long after that when the work really was destroyed. The Philadelphia Church of God started on December 7th, 1989, when my father and John Amos were fired for holding fast, standing firm with those traditions restored to the church through Herbert W. Armstrong. In that introductory video you heard earlier on in the program, the narrator there at the end said, "Today, the need for understanding biblical prophecy, for the gospel message, for hope, for the message Herbert Armstrong delivered, the need for that is greater than ever." It is greater than ever. This world, this United Kingdom needs that voice of Herbert Armstrong, or that message that he proclaimed. Do you think about that first campaign here in the UK in September of 1954? Some fascinating details surrounding that public Bible lecture. He advertised in the Belfast Telegraph, on Monday, September 13th, 1954. This was a little ad from page 10 of the Belfast Telegraph. The headline said, the headline to the ad, "What's prophesied for Britain?" And then the advertisement said, "Herbert W. Armstrong, speaker on the worldwide radio program, The World Tomorrow, will be giving a lecture on striking Bible prophecy in person at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 14th in the Wellington Hall. Admission free, no collection," it says. The Wellington Hall no longer exists in Belfast. We've looked into that. In any event, how many people came to that as a result of the ad, as opposed to those who were familiar with it or knew it was coming because they were Plain Truth readers? It's hard to say. But just judging by the patchy coverage of Radio Luxembourg at the time, I would imagine a significant percentage of the people who turned out that night, the following night, came as a result of that little ad in the Belfast Telegraph. And 750 people showed up to hear Herbert Armstrong say this. He said it in the autobiography. He wrote it down for us anyway. He said, "World War is not over. We are now merely in the second recess of the war. What is prophesied for the United Kingdom and for the United States?" He asks, "I have crossed America and the Atlantic Ocean to tell you things I can't say on the radio. What I'm now going to say is not popular, but it is as certain as the rising and setting of tomorrow's sun. Yet on beyond it all, after our peoples have been punished as no nations ever were before, world peace is coming in our time." This was a strong warning that Mr. Armstrong delivered in 1954. He advertised that campaign in the Belfast Telegraph on Monday. He gave the public Bible lecture on Tuesday. And would you believe that the Belfast Post, another newspaper, a competing newspaper with the Telegraph, the Belfast Post reported on the campaign the next day with the headline, "U.S. Evangelist, Beware the Next Roman Empire." That was in the main news section of the Belfast Post, Wednesday, September 15th, 1954. Page 2. If you look at the article adjacent to it, it's about the British Foreign Secretary, Anthony Eden's, visit to Paris to discuss the security of the Western European nations. And as this article brought out, Russia's attempt to, quote, block general agreement on the rearming of Germany. That's in the article right next to the article about Herbert Armstrong's campaign with the headline, "U.S. Evangelist says, beware the next Roman Empire." So this was a warning going out. That was 1954. It was just 3 years before that when the European coal and steel community was established, and I'm sure there could, it would have been so easy to just scoff at the thought of another Roman Empire, a resurrection of the Roman Empire. How preposterous that might have sounded then. And yet 750 people turned out. As I was saying last night, I mean, it would have been easy to scoff back then, but not so much today. When you look at what's building in Europe, it's just lacking the emperor. But as I was saying in the first segment, I mean, if there's one lesson that we can learn from European history, it's that the Holy Roman Empire keeps coming back. History teaches us this. And you add to it prophecy. History and prophecy. Let me just read from this article. This was news in the Belfast Post. Hey, this U.S. evangelist shows up. And this is what he spoke about. He said, "Beware the next Roman Empire." It doesn't have a byline, but whoever wrote this article said within the next 30 years, the Roman Empire would rise again in the form of 10 united European dictatorships and conquer the United Kingdom and the United States. This prophecy was made in the Wellington Hall, Belfast, last night, but Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong head of a U.S. independent evangelical organization. So just reporting the facts, what he said. Of course, critics are going to key in on the 30 years, within the next 30 years. And these are the same people, I suppose, that would scoff at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Paul was under the impression that Jesus would return in his generation. And so the scoffers just dismiss prophecy altogether. I mean, the Apostle Paul and Herbert Armstrong, they may have had their own generations in mind when they uttered some of these monumental prophecies. But their words were still inspired by God. Jesus said we can't know the day or the hour, but we can certainly know the times and the seasons. We can know when it's at the door, as my father says over and again. What's important, whether you're examining the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 or the words of Herbert Armstrong at that 1954 campaign, what's important is what God had in mind for this latter-day generation and how that it applies to us, those of us living in the last days. This Belfast article, it's amazing, really. It says here, Mr. Armstrong, who was speaking on what is prophesied for Britain, said that the new Roman Empire would last only a short time before the second coming of Christ, but that during its sway, one-third of the people of the United States and Britain would be killed and our cities would be destroyed. That's a strong warning coming in the Belfast Post the day after Mr. Armstrong's campaign in 1954. It talks about the first blow coming at American industry and so on. And then later on in the article, it says this, incredibly, this author says, Mr. Armstrong, who used scripture to support his arguments in a 2.25-hour address, said earlier that Russia was not the only power to fear. In Germany, where he had been a few weeks ago, the people were coming back very rapidly. They want to see Germany come back and conquer and rule the world. This was in the Belfast Post. The day after Mr. Armstrong's lecture. And then it gives some details about his work. Headquartered in Pasadena, that he was on Radio Luxembourg, that he was the editor of the Plain Truth magazine, that he's going to be returning to America in 3 weeks or so. It was a 320-word article on page 2 of the Belfast Post following a campaign that 750 people attended, many of them, probably, because of a tiny little ad on page 10 of the Belfast Telegraph the night before the campaign. And what astounds me about this follow-up article in another paper is that he was taken seriously, this so-called U.S. evangelist, and it was reported on in the news section, the front section of the newspaper. And that in itself says a lot about the world we live in today and what's wrong with our nations. How different Great Britain is today as compared to even 1954. We're living in a day, we're living at a time when there's just so little tolerance for the Bible. People dismiss the Bible. People ignore the Bible. People ridicule and mock the Bible, invoking it. These scoffers believe, well, that makes you simple-minded, uneducated, irrational, unreasonable. But the Bible is the most important book there is on earth. It is, people died to preserve the text of the Bible. One-third of it is prophecy. I went through Hosea chapter 4, where it says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And later on in that same chapter, it says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone, God says. Their drink is sour. They've committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. You look at Britain today, hundreds of thousands out in the streets on Saturday protesting Brexit. Such a secular nation today by comparison, just comparing it to 1954. And as hard as we work to get the message out in a world full of noise and distraction, where people are just obsessed with entertainment, we work hard to get 137 to show up. I mean, it says a lot about the work, the reach of Herbert Armstrong's ministry, just to look back at some of these news clippings from 1954. It also says a lot about our nations today. How many newspapers were lining up yesterday or for any of my father's campaigns in North America to report on a public appearance campaign coming from an American evangelist who's saying, beware the next and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Our nations need to wake up. They need to wake up and learn the lessons of history. They need to wake up and accept the great prophecies of God. They need to dig into the Bible that most dismiss, even in the world of religion. There's a great sickness in our nations today, but there's certainly plenty of literature coming from this church that can heal you, that can fill your mind with understanding and truth. Four kingdoms, and then comes the fifth. God's kingdom, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth at the return of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, broadcasting live from downtown London. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.